Welcome to Weston Sermon Podcast of the Week. We are so glad you've joined us today. If you have been encouraged by our ministry and would like to support us financially, you can do so at westonroadchurch.com/give. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
I'm very grateful for what Jesus has done for us. And one of the things that I want to make sure that we let you know is that Jesus coming in the form of a baby is actually God's greatest gift to you and to me. And you might not understand that fully, and that's okay. In the short time, I'm not going to be long, we do have some hot chocolate and cider and gingerbread cookies, not just for the kids, but for everyone. Because as a church, we also value fellowship, time where we can talk and hang out and see how each other are doing. But I want us to look very briefly in the book of John, chapter 1. Actually, we'll start John chapter 3 because I want to give a bit of an introduction. I mentioned that Jesus is this amazing gift that God has given us. And the title, because we do have church folk in here, I hope, and I always encourage our church, make sure you take notes. And maybe it's not with a pen, but if you want to take notes in your phone, that's okay too. But real quick, the title this morning is Small Beginnings. Say small beginnings with me. Small beginnings. And, you know, each and every one of us started with a small beginning. And you heard me say earlier, for Jesus too, it was no different. It started in a womb, but God actually had the whole entire world in mind. And in John 3:16, it says this, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." And so he is this amazing gift for you and me. The Bible says God gave out of what? He was motivated by something. It said, "For God so loved the world," not just some people or an exclusive group of people, but everyone. God so loved the world that he gave his best. And his best was in the form of Jesus Christ, born to the Virgin Mary, but then as a great gift to each of us. So again, he's motivated by love, and God gives his best gift to the world. And here's the thing for me, all these years later, as I've grown up, that still catches me. It's this gift of Jesus is so great, yet it was delivered to us by unexpected means. Because Mary, she was surprised just as much as anyone else would have been when the angel showed up and said, "You're going to carry the Savior of the world and you're going to give birth to him." And it's a mystery still, but the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, conceived this child within her. And if you read through the whole story, she was engaged to marry Joseph, and he thought, what do you mean you're pregnant? That's not the way it's supposed to go. And he was going to divorce her quietly, the Bible said, as to not disgrace her publicly. But then God sent an angel to speak to Joseph, and then he realized, okay, this is actually a miracle. What is happening? Why God chose my fiancé and I? We have no idea, but I love Mary's response. "I am your servant, and if this is what you want, then I will gladly do this thing." And so God is motivated by love, and he has the promise of this great gift for everyone who believes. And I also want to remind you, the title, Small Beginnings, but don't despise small beginnings. You know, this might be your first time in church, and it was just a simple invitation, perhaps, that you showed up. And again, we're very grateful you're here. But don't despise small beginnings. I believe God has a great plan and a purpose for every single person that's here. And your life might feel like it's on a dead-end road. And maybe someone here, you're at the very bottom. You've hit rock bottom these last couple of weeks or even these last few days. And I'm here to say that there's still hope in Jesus Christ, because the Bible says his name, Jesus, will be the hope of all the world. And when he showed up, the world had trouble recognizing, well, how is this God's great gift to us? But don't despise small beginnings. Don't despise small beginnings. And I'll also add this, just because something is small to us, it doesn't mean it's small at all. You catch that? What has to begin to change sometimes is perspective. You know, when our son, we have three children, but when our first child, when my wife became pregnant, you know, it was hard to tell. She looked normal, but when we saw the ultrasound, we recognized, wait a minute, no, there's actually something, there's life growing here. And then what started as very small to us actually began to show and to be very evident to many other people. So again, what just because something looks small to us doesn't mean it's small at all. And Jesus' birth maybe seemed very insignificant to many, many people. We're going to read in a minute from Scripture about that. But remember, what started in the womb was actually meant for the world. You catch that, right? So I want us to not miss that point. But it all depends on perspective. To Mary, because the angel told her, you're going to be pregnant, and he will be the Savior of the world. And to her, that was a big deal. To anyone who would ever receive, if you got that message, it would be a big deal, and you'd be, oh my goodness, this baby that I'm carrying is special. There's a special calling on his life. And to be the Savior of the world, I got to make sure that I take care of what God has entrusted to me. And so it depends on your perspective. And I want to share some perspective from Scripture in John chapter 1. So remember, we read John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that was his motivation, out of love, that he gave his best. It says his one and only son, that whosoever should believe in him, that word believe means to put your trust in him, would not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, when it says the word perish, we're all going to die one day. Every one of us, the Bible said, it is appointed that each person would die once, and then the judgment. Now, when he's saying that we should not perish but have everlasting life, he's not saying, well, you're not going to die here anymore. No, each one of us will, but eternity is what will last forever. And the choice we make while we're alive actually determines, the Bible says, where we spend eternity. And we're going to get to how we get there in just a minute. But John chapter 1, I want to read starting at verse 1. It says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. So the Word is not just something that we speak, but it says he, the Word, existed. And in verse 2, he existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. Can someone guess who the Word is? Jesus. Jesus is the living Word. Verse 4 says the Word gave life to everything that was created. That extends, by the way, to you and to me. He gives us life and sustenance, and his life brought light to everyone. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Can we do an experiment real quick? Yes? Okay, I just want to make sure before we do it. Kids, can we do an experiment real quick? Okay, so who's my lighting operator? Can you kill the lights in the sanctuary? Okay, now, Dominic, can you hit the light switches on, yeah, right there? Let's kill all these lights. All right, so obviously, I'm not going to kill the Christmas tree lights because it's too much work, but envision the darkness for a second, okay? And it says that he is a light that shines in the darkness. Now, here's the beauty. Can you guess who's going to win when I'm going to ask them to turn on the lights? Is darkness going to win or is light going to win? Okay, I think there's consensus and agreement in the room. So we're going to count to three, and then I'm going to ask for all the lights to be turned on. Weston kids especially, can you help me count to three? Ready? One, two, three. Let there be light. But how did you know? Light will always triumph over darkness. And in verse 5, look at what it says. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. The Bible is telling us that Jesus is the light of the world. And when he was born, he came humbly and very small, but God had big plans for this special gift. And that's why as we've been looking at Journey to the Manger, as the kids presented, it was a great reminder to every one of us here and those watching online that God cares so much that in a dark world with very little hope, little happiness and peace, he said there needs to be a light that shines, that wherever this light is going to shine, the darkness has to go. The darkness has to go. And so John chapter 1 verse 14 goes on to say, we skip a few verses, here's what it says. So the Word became human or became flesh and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. So it's not a mystery who is the Word. He's telling us in the book of John chapter 1 that it is Jesus Christ, that he is the light that shines in the darkness, that he is this great gift, that unless we understand what God's plan is for us, it's hard to appreciate and to understand and to then want to receive this gift. And as we get to the end of this message shortly, I'm going to ask if our worship team would actually come back to the platform, because we will sing one song at the very end. But I'm also here to extend an invitation to you. Not just to say, hey, if you don't have a church that you attend, welcome, and you're welcome to come back, although that's something I've already said to you. But I'm also here to extend an invitation to you that if you've never received this great gift of God's Son, Jesus Christ, that today is the best day, because this gift is still extended and available to you. And my opportunity is simply to give you an invitation. And so I want to read a little more scripture, and then we're going to get to that moment where I will ask and invite you. If you don't know Jesus, then you can receive him as this wonderful gift. It's a gift that will never, never expire. And so we just read John 1:14, that the Word became human, put on flesh. You know, we have to understand the divinity of Jesus. He was there at the beginning of creation. We read it already. And God saw fit that he would have to walk this earth and put on clothes and basically live like you and me. He wasn't like you and me, but God came in that form through his son Jesus to relate with you and me. That means the hard stuff that you deal with, God understands. Jesus walked this earth. He was tempted. He was challenged. He was mocked and ridiculed. But he had a purpose and a mission. It would eventually lead to the cross, which was the purpose of his life. The Bible says that God sent Jesus, and Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And I don't have time to get into all of that, but some of you feel like, man, life's been hard. And yeah, without Jesus, you know, we sang it earlier, he's the wonderful counselor, our Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God who is with us. That hasn't changed. But if you don't know Jesus, it's going to be very hard to know real peace, to know that you have a counselor. Who is a counselor? It's maybe in your head, it's someone I pay, you know, almost $200 for an appointment for 1 hour where I get to vomit on them all of what I'm going through, and then I hope that they could help me or maybe give me some hope. Listen, peace is a person, and his name is Jesus. Hope has a name, and it's Jesus. His name shall be the hope of all the world. But listen, when perspective is distorted, you can miss out. Remember, Jesus came, and it was a humble, small beginning. But we're taught in Scripture, don't despise the small beginnings. John 1, same chapter, I want to read. I skipped over verses 10 to 13, but I want you to hear it now. It says, he came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. They were looking for a Savior. They were expecting the Messiah, but when it showed up through Mary in this fashion, the world couldn't recognize him. Verse 11 says, he came to his own people, and even they rejected him. Listen, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Verse 13 says, they are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. I've been born again, friend. Not from my mother, because that's impossible. In fact, John chapter 3, I already read to you, for God so loved the world, that verse. But if you read the whole of that story, it's actually a man who is wanting to believe and to follow Jesus, but he's kind of embarrassed and he's ashamed, and he comes to Jesus at night. And Jesus, there's this conversation that he has, and that's where Jesus basically lands on this verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Again, they couldn't recognize him, they couldn't see him for what he truly was, but perspective is important. And today, Jesus, all the mysteries, you can read through Scripture, and he's revealed himself to us. This is the written word, but Jesus is still the living word, and that by the power of his Holy Spirit, he still speaks to the heart today. And I believe that he's speaking to some hearts today, whether you're in the room or you're joining us online. Yesterday, we went to visit a neighboring church in our community, and I was reminded of the simplicity of the message of Jesus. And it was actually with colors. And there were 5 colors that actually tell very simply the story, the gospel story, which is our hope, which is the good news that someone here needs to hear today. And the first color is yellow. Yellow or gold, whichever is your preference. And yellow or gold actually is a symbol of heaven and a reminder of heaven, and that God loves us and wants us all to be with him in heaven. That was the first color, but the next color was black. And black, and there were just 5 beads. And black is a reminder, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And how can we, sinful people, approach a holy God? We can't on our own. So there is this problem of sin, and sin separates us from God, but this is why God loves us so much. The next color is red. And red actually represents the blood of Jesus, which when he was hung on that cross and he died, he actually died for the forgiveness of our sins. And so we have yellow, we have black, we have red, and then the next color is white. And white is a reminder that through the cross, Jesus actually has made us white as snow. That all of my sins have been forgiven because I've asked him, I've repented, and he's made me white as snow. And so I'm no longer identified as a sinner, but instead as a saint, as a child and daughter of God. And then the last color is green. And green reminds us that it's important to grow in this relationship with Jesus. It's not about a one-off, I said this prayer, I gave my life to Jesus, and nothing changes in my life. It is a relationship that you're actually establishing with the Creator of heaven and earth, where he says, you have no purpose, come, I'm going to show you why you were made, why you were born. And so I don't know why you're here today. Maybe you were invited, maybe this is a regular occurrence for you on a Sunday to be in church. But my responsibility is to give you an opportunity by way of invitation that if you've never heard about Jesus or you've never heard the good news of why he came and that his birth was important, but the small beginning, he grew up, he lived for 33 years, and then he laid his life down and died. And the Bible says that he died for the sins of the world. He took the weight of the sins of the world upon his shoulders so that you and I could be free. And that's why we could sing songs like "The Joy of the Lord is My Strength." Because I no longer live, it's Christ who lives in me, the hope of glory. And so Christ has come, and the kids have shown us, you know, through their amazing skills and abilities and talents, of how it could have looked like way back then. But the truth is, he is still the greatest gift that you and I could ever receive. It's the gift of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. I want to close with one last scripture, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond, and then we're going to sing. John 3:16, back to that verse, but I want to read a little more. Again, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." Listen, next verse, 17. "God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world but to save the world through him." Perspective matters. Some of you think these Christians, they're all about X, Y, and Z. Jesus is all about this. He didn't come to judge. He came as Savior of the world. Verse 18 says, "There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact." So here, he's not just saying you'll be judged if you deny Christ or don't believe in him, but he's saying it's based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but people loved darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. This is the message of the good news of Jesus Christ, that you would no longer walk in darkness, but in light. And the light is not just like, well, let's get in a bright space and turn on some lights, let's go to Home Depot. It's actually living according to what Jesus is inviting us to do with our lives, to follow him. And so here's what we do. The Bible says in Romans 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and as a result, you believe in your heart God raised them from the dead, you will be saved. And it's not just for the here and now, but for eternity. I also know, because I've been around a very long time, that there might be some people you don't know, and this scares you. That if you're going to take your last breath, or you don't know, when I lay my head, am I going to have another day tomorrow? Maybe death has been knocking on your door in one form or another, and you're not sure. There's uncertainty, there's fear, there's doubt. I'm here to reassure you that with Christ, I sleep in peace. My kids wake us up throughout the night all the time, but I lay my head on my pillow in peace, knowing, God, if this is my last breath, I've lived life to the full like Jesus says, and I know that to be absent in this world is to be present with you, and I have nothing to fear. The last thing I say, and then I'm going to invite you to respond, is this. The Bible never says, well, good people go to heaven, so do good, and bad people go to hell, so make sure you're not a bad person. The Bible never says that. The Bible says it's through the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. That is the way to heaven. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except through me. So in one sense, he is the door, but also the gate. You can't get to heaven but through a right relationship with Jesus, which means I repent of my sin, living life my way. And repentance is a very Christian word, I know, but let me explain it simply like this. I'm turning. It's a 180 degree turn. That's what repentance is. I'm turning from living life my way, doing the evil things that my flesh loves to do, and I'm turning to follow Jesus. You know, early Christians were actually called people of the way because they weren't following their own way. They were living and following in the way of Jesus Christ. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet real quick. No one moving around. This is a very serious moment. In fact, everything that we've done with Weston Kids, their production, the weeks that they've spent practicing and preparing, as well as our team and everyone who serves, is all for this moment to give you this invitation that if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ personally, I'm not talking about your grandparents went to church, your parents went to church, and now you're kind of, you know, you've been dragged along your whole life. Even if it's your very first Sunday, I'm here to offer and extend to you this amazing gift of Jesus Christ and salvation in him, not just for this life, but for all of eternity. In John 10:10, and then I'm going to give you an invitation, Jesus said this in his words. He said, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Who? You. Your soul. And Jesus said, but I have come that you may have life, and life more abundantly, or life to the full, and life in the overflow. That's Jesus's desire for your life. And today, my question and my invitation is, would you receive Jesus, this amazing gift that God has gone to great lengths to extend to you? You know, I said it takes perspective and understanding. So I pray that your perspective has begun to shift a little from maybe what you once thought about Jesus. But he is an amazing helper, a wonderful counselor, like I said. And here's all I'm going to ask you to do. And I'm going to do it this way, and I'll explain why. I'm going to count to three. And it's not to embarrass you, but it's actually to lead you to making a decision. And on the count of three, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I understand we have some believers already in the room, of course. This is church. But we don't want to overlook those who might not be. Maybe you've been here and you're considering a relationship with Jesus. This is your moment. This is for you. And I also want to acknowledge, you might be in the room and say, I have no desire at all. That's okay. We're glad you're here. But for those who are ready to put their faith in Jesus Christ and to receive him as an amazing gift, on the count of three, I ask you to make a decision by simply raising your hand. It's not to embarrass you, but just to know who I'm praying. I already see a hand, and you didn't even wait for me to count. Amen. I see another hand, another hand. One, two, three. There we go. Lift your hand if there's anyone else. We'll give just a moment. If you're watching online, you can put a hands up emoji. I see hand here at the back. Some of our kids too. Amen. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lead you to pray a prayer. which simply invites Jesus Christ to be Lord. Because the Bible says it's when we confess. And I also understand some people might not know how to ask him to be Lord. So you can put your hands down. But here's what I want us to do. We're going to pray. And I actually am going to invite everyone in the room to do this. Would you pray this prayer with me? Especially if you've raised your hand. Get ready, because your life will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, pray with me this prayer. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you today just as I am, but thank you that you're not leaving me the same. Today I willingly repent. I repent of living life my way, going after the fleshly desires of this life, and I choose to turn. And I want to follow you, Jesus. I confess with my mouth that Jesus, you are Lord. And I believe in my heart that God, you raised him from the dead. So I receive you now by faith. And as the scriptures say, the old me is dead and gone. And behold, I am a new creation. So thank you that I'll never be the same again. Help me from this day forward to follow you fully. I give you my life, my past, my present, and my future. And I want to live for you forever and ever. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the Sermon of the Week. God wants to work in your life, and we want to hear it. Please take a moment to share your story by emailing amen@westernroadchurch.com. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope listening to this week's sermon has equipped you to be the light wherever you go.